that can really kind of break down the X's and O's, more or less like the, you know, the hoops talk, if you will, mm-hmm. when it comes to the NBA. Go ahead and hit it, Patton.
The radio voice of the Memphis Grizzlies, Eric Hasseltine.
Lee lobs for Randolph, squares up at Lopez, 10 on the shot clock. Zach, a jab step, a lean back, 17-footer is good. That is Grizzlies basketball right there. Great hustle, getting it to the big fella, freeze the defense, and take the shot.
Runs right into a double team. Johnson for a steal, right wing three. We're tied at 96. Are you serious?
Boy will step into a three, blocked by Johnson. Loose ball picked up by Conley. Conley down the left side for the trailer Miller to Johnson. Two-handed jam! And James Johnson is dominating this stretch of basketball in the FedEx Forum. Crowd love it. Miller looking, inbounds Conley. Leonard on him. Conley drives right by him in the lane, running right-handed floater. Bounces
yes.
around, and goes down! It hits the iron twice, falls in the bucket, and we're going to overtime.
Well, that means we've only got the one and only, the voice of the Memphis Grizzlies, Eric Hasseltine. Eric, first of all, I mean, not anybody just gets their own sounder these days, but you are my friend. You get one. How about that?
Well, yeah, that's pretty. Those are fun highlights. Those are good old days, for sure. Yeah, it's been quite a ride, hasn't it?
It definitely has. Do you remember? Yeah, I'm pretty sure you remember those calls. Remember back in the day? I think that was 2014, mm-hmm. right? During those time, because yep. we've been covering the Grizzlies.
There was James Johnson in there, so that was a minute ago. He's been here, there, everywhere ever since. So, that was great. I loved it.
Yeah. Well, wanted to ask you: does this Memphis Grizzlies team remind you at all of kind of the old Zach Randolph days for the Memphis Grizzlies? Or is there any comparison to what you see now with the Ja Morant-led Memphis Grizzlies?
Not really. I think there's a little bit of the us against the world still, you know, happening with the team, because they still are fighting for that respectability, although I think they earned a lot of it during this season and during the postseason with the way they played. There's still obviously people that doubted them because of their lack of playoff experience, but I think they're just different, you know, and I'm a big believer in, you know, appreciate what you had, but respect what you have currently, too. I think we too many times in sports, in our society, we get caught up in trying to compare the past to the present, and is this guy as great as that guy? And there's just, you can't really do it. You know, there's only one Magic Johnson. There's only one Larry Bird. There's only one Michael Jordan. There's only one Kobe, there's only one LeBron, there's only one Ja, there's only one Steph Curry. These guys are, you know, you can say guys play similar games, but for whatever reason, as sports fans, a lot of times we just have a harder time accepting greatness before us, where we want to say, oh, he's good, but he wouldn't be that. I mean, it's impossible to say that. So for me, I try to look at each team as their own separate entity, their own separate identity. It's a very different style now. It's a very different group of players, where back then you had some young talent. There's no doubt Mark was young but had professional experience. Mike was young, but you had a veteran in Zach Randolph and a veteran in Tony Allen, who had won a championship with Boston. So you don't have that with this group, and they've grown up together. That's why I really think this group could do, I don't want to say the same stuff as Golden State did, because they've won multiple championships, but they can take a similar route of success with that group that's in Golden State right now, because aside from when they got Kevin Durant, it was pretty organically grown. Those guys all grew up in the NBA together, like learning together, learning how to win together, and that's what this group is doing. So that 7 years was as special a time as you know, we've had here in Memphis, and now hopefully these next seven will rival that, but provide their own memories and own, you know, great feelings. And another generation of, you know, young Grizzlies fans can grow up that, you know, maybe didn't see a lot of the Zach Randolph, you know, Mike Conley, Marc Gasol, Tony Allen years, maybe a couple, but they'll grow up watching this group. You know, a 10-year-old right now is, you know, was what, 12, born in 2000 and 2011 or 2012, well, that was the start of that. So how much do they really remember? Now a 10-year-old's going to watch the next 5-6 years, and when they turn into their teenage years and their formative sports fan years, they're going to tell their kids, I grew up watching Ja Morant, and he was amazing. And so that's the cool thing about it.
Eric, let me read you off this list about in terms of this roster. I read it earlier in the show where this is Ja's going to be his third season. You look at Triple J, it's going to be his fourth season. Bane in his second season. You got Clark going into this, what was his third season? Brooks. And then you got Brooks in his fifth. And now, not to mention, we've got two first-rounders in this upcoming NBA draft. Mm-hmm. Now, we saw
very easily could have had three.
Yeah, exactly.
The Lakers
didn't
stink up.
When you look at this team, and after Ja went out, it looks like there was someone they were. It seems like they transitioned in terms of spreading the ball around as opposed to letting Ja kind of do what Ja does, which is those immaculate like plays, what have you, trying to make up for that shooting presence. And they were very competitive, even with Ja out. They blew him out in game five. And then game six, of course, it was close until then. I felt like they were the better team in the series. Do you think in this offseason they're going to try to look for like a second shooter, probably a veteran to come in to kind of like help this young team out? Or do you think they're going to continue to build in the draft where they've been so successful at?
I think they build with what they've got. You know, I really do. I think they've got, like you said, a couple of first-round picks. Maybe you can package those and move up like they did last year, moving up to draft Zaire Williams, who really developed into a solid player and can be really good. I really like that young man's game. He's got athleticism, length, he can shoot the ball, and you watch a 19-year-old kid guarding Steph Curry, and he didn't back down for a second. Mm-hmm. And that's a different level of confidence than a lot of kids have. So I think there will not be a doubt in my mind that they will explore every option that they can with what they can do with the roster. I think they're looking at to see who's going to stick around and who's not. You know, the simple economics of it is, in today's NBA, you just don't keep teams completely together. Guys become free agents, guys get offers, guys have opportunities to, you know, further their financial, you know, future, maybe other places. And that's part of pro sports, unfortunately. You know, you only get one ride if you're a player. You got to do what's best for your family. So take a guy like Tyus Jones. If someone backs a Brinks truck up to his house and says, this is what we're going to give you to be our point guard, you might have to say, hey, we don't want you to leave by any stretch of the imagination, but you can't pass this up either unless that's what you want to do. I don't know that that's necessarily 100% the case. You know, a lot of people think Tyus could get a big contract. I've heard others say they haven't heard a lot of rumblings about that. And if he doesn't, will he stay and kind of stay in the same price range and try to ride it out with this group that he loves playing with so much and love playing with him? That's a tough decision. That's a really tough decision. When you have, like you said, two first-round picks, they're going to be later first-round picks. But can you possibly package those up in a player to move up to get somebody else? There's a possibility there too. This is the time of year. I was telling a friend of mine, look, the players are all on the 310 to Cancun tomorrow, right? They're off a well-deserved one. So, you know, the coaches though, they'll get a little bit of time down, and so will the front office, but they'll be right back to work. Like, they're going to be back at it this week, next week, moving forward. Their off season really doesn't start maybe till August. And then even at that time, you're trying to fill out the training camp roster. And once you get that set and get everybody back, then these guys can take a little bit of a breath. But this is the busiest time of the year for a front office. It starts with the trade deadline, and then you kind of get a break, and now you get to where you're scouting college players and potential free agents and seeing who could fit. And the one thing I'll give Zach Kleiman a ton of credit for and why he was the NBA Executive of the Year, and deservedly so, is he knows enough to know he doesn't know everything. And I don't mean that he's not brilliant, because he is. Zach Kleiman is one of the smartest human beings I've ever been around, and I'm not just talking basketball. He's incredibly intelligent. But he's also, you know, I had a chance to sit on a bus ride with him, and this is why I say he's also very sponge-like when he talks to people. You can tell he's taking in what you say, and I was just blown away, because I had met Zach when he was, you know, basically working our salary cap and our contracts and our legal side. And riding back from Chicago from the arena to the hotel one season. I think it was the year that we actually shut down. I sat right next to him, and it's not a short bus ride. And we talked, and he told me about his journey there and, you know, to where he was and the things he had done. And I was like, I had no idea you were here. I had no idea that you were there. I knew he had interned with the Lakers. But as we're talking, I could see this. You can almost see him processing what you're saying and getting people's opinions. And I don't sit in on those meetings, but I have it on pretty good authority. That's how he is with Tayshaun Prince and Rich Cho and Glenn Grunwald and all the other analytics and basketball savvy guys and the coaches. And that's a gift. I mean, that is 100% a gift. And, you know, for a guy that not a lot of people had heard of, he's going to do remarkable things. You just look at his track record in three seasons and you're going, hold up a second. This guy really hasn't missed on much, and the dice that he's rolled that maybe didn't come up, you know, with a jackpot weren't really that bad. You know, Josh Jackson was a roll of the dice, a former lottery pick, and when they realized it probably wasn't going to be, you know, a situation where they were going to be able to keep him, and they let him know early on, but said, hey, this is your opportunity. We're not going to just bench you. We're going to have you help us win some games, and this is going to be your opportunity to prove to people you belong. And he did, and he got a deal with Detroit, and Josh is able to make a nice salary. Just unfortunately, with the way the Wings were logjammed here, that's what happens. They brought in Grayson Allen. Then they get Desmond Bane, and they have to make a decision. They say, well, look, we really like what Desmond Bane does. It's not to discredit Grayson Allen's value to what he brought to the table. But if we move him, we open up the door for Desmond to really develop. And so they make that move. They make the move to trade Jonas Valanciunas when that was crucified by just about everybody out there. Oh, you're taking a step back. Why would you do that? You got worse today. You're giving up an offensive and, you know, rebounding threat for a guy that just rebounds and plays a little bit defense. I guess nobody really understood the value of Steven Adams unless you were in Oklahoma City, because he sets huge screens. He'll box out two and three guys, and there's a reason Russell Westbrook averaged a triple-double. One, he's incredibly talented and gifted. Two, he had a monster of a human being taking out two other rebounders, and Russell was just so much more athletic than the remaining guys that he could just go get it. And you go back and look at the tapes, and now that you realize it, you go, oh, now I see why Russell Westbrook's getting all these uncontested rebounds. It's because Steven Adams, who's as big as a doorway, is boxing out two opponents and letting Russ go get it and start the break, which is, you know, selfless, basically. And that really worked out because they realized that gave John Morant an opportunity to blossom. It let Jaren Jackson Jr. Be who he needs to be, and he'll get better on all facets of the game. His defense obviously took a big step forward this year. Now, offensively and rebounding-wise, he was getting much better as the year went along, and he continued to get his footing. So these guys have hit home runs at every level, and I just look at it and say, you know, I trust their decision-making. I think they have some tough calls to make. You know, Kyle Anderson's contract is up. What does he want to do? What are his options? You have some deals that will expire at the end of next year. And you've got some guys that you know, might have some value that you may see. Your roster's pretty deep. You know, 1 through 15, you're really deep. But at some point, you do have to condense a little bit. They did that last year with the Grayson Allen deal. And, you know, maybe they look to do that a little bit again this year and try to get it down to where, you know, you have right now arguably the deepest roster in the league. But if you could condense it and have one of the deepest but more talent, 1 through 10, 1 through 11, that's something I'm sure they'll explore.
Well, Eric, we really do appreciate you coming on with us. Not sure if you're going to go to Cancun or not, but enjoy the NBA offseason.
No, I'm going to watch 10-year-old baseball.
Awesome.
I finally get to watch. I was supposed to coach this year, which I did the best to do it, but you know, we didn't travel. I coached my son's teams, which was an absolute blast. Mm. He's not trying to be that dad. He's a good little player, so I've missed getting to watch him play. And so tonight I get to go be at the ball field and as he enters at the end of his season and get to see some games this week and get to be a dad and do all the other things dads do, like power wash the back deck.
There we go.
Mow the grass and, you know, restock the refrigerator with food for the two of us. So, but I wouldn't trade it for the world. It's been a heck of a ride, and I think we're just on the tip of the iceberg of what this team can do.
Absolutely, Eric. Have a great off season. We'll swing back around and talk to you later. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.